If we can't change the future, if it's so set, what's the point of this life? That's not the final chapter of what our lives will amount to, though. Maybe physically we'll get dispersed throughout the cosmos when the sun finally peters out and things head their way. But more powerful than one tiny star in one silly corner of the cosmos is the fate of the sun, the one who's died, not letting that be the end, but again risen, that we might be forgiven, that we might have life and it abundantly, regardless of what happens to our weak little bodies. There's one possible future, and that's in God. Whatever we do, we can't escape the power and will of the Almighty, made known in a little peasant man who death couldn't stop. When we talk of the future, we think of far-off time, something that eventually will be. But the shtick is, the future is now, the future is here. That's what's at play in this thing with Mary and Martha. It's easy to just look at the surface of this and say, oh, well, Mary was listening to Jesus, and that's what we should do. We shouldn't bother ourselves with serving. Martha's too busy. But the key is she's distracted. They're living in different worlds, different times, different realities. Martha distracted and upset and worried by so many things, the cares of this world. Mary, on the other hand, is living in the future, where all that matters and all that defines is the forgiveness found in Christ, abiding in that deep, powerful word. Serving, though, is part of that, is part of that reality. Some of us in the kingdom have chosen the easy route, called to a ministry of word and sacrament, Brad and I being the lazy ones in this equation, because it's clear, it's defined. Bread, wine, some water, obvious things, places we know and say that future has broken in and claimed us. A harder lot through life is one of service. Martha here called the first deacon, called within the church to serve the world. But she didn't figure out the job fully. Later in the gospel, Jesus is at the table as one who serves his disciples, and says that's the greatest path. Later in Acts, a whole crowd of people is named as deacons because the apostles can't handle their jobs. It's too much going on in the church for them to do it by themselves. So they call others deacons. Stephen among them, he's quickly arrested. By the end of the chapter, after he's named as a deacon, he's arrested and he becomes the first martyr of the church and gives a full accounting of this history of what God has been up to in the world, of our salvation. And at the end of that, as Stephen's being stoned to death, Luke tells us that his face has the appearance of an angel, and he asks God to forgive the crowd that is killing him, because he's living in the future already. Whatever happens to his body is of no account. because the one possible future has already defined his life. And while the future is set, the choices we make still do have consequence. We talk about free will in the church, not because we draw it straight from Scripture, but if the future is our forgiveness, if that forgiveness of the future has broken into our lives now, who we are and what we've done is of our own agency to some level. Because how could God forgive us of things we didn't choose to do? We do sin, live outside of the way God intends creation to be, hurting our neighbors, hurting ourselves, hurting this place God has given us to live. Which is why our future is the forgiveness. Why our present is the forgiveness. In our serving and in our sacraments and in the Word, it's the forgiveness given in Christ that overwhelms us and will ultimately define all that is. It changes our choices. It makes our mistakes different. Because rather than them leading to death, they lead to life. We don't get the full story of Abraham in our text today. That's the beginning of a larger arc. Abraham has these visitors. He runs and serves them extravagantly. And is then finds life. Those visitors go on and find Abraham's nephew Lot. And he serves them too and finds life for he and his family. And then the men of Sodom also come into contact with these men. And rather than engage in service, they engage in abuse and shame, trying to hurt these men and make themselves somehow better. And they find death in that. The story, that larger arc, is one where service is the key to life. An abundant life. And the story no longer goes that if you fail, if you sin, you will die. The story now goes, when you sin, Christ is there to create you anew in forgiveness. It's the only possible future. Choose as you may. But there's only life in Christ. Whatever you do with your life, whatever shrine you try and build of a legacy, you'll be consumed in the sun and held close to the heart of forgiveness. Amen.